This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. Hello and welcome to the podcast. Now, a couple of days ago, on June the 16th, the UK celebrated and recognised Neurodiversity Pride Day. Neurodiversity is something that I'll admit I didn't know a lot about until more recently, and it's something that I've looked into a lot more recently. And certainly within stoma care, I don't think it's something that's spoken about enough and the impacts that having neurodiversity can have on people. Now, I've got a guest with me. I always feel like I say this. I've got a guest with me today. It is a voice that you will recognise if you've listened to our podcast. I'm joined by Sophie today. Hi, Sophie. How are you?
Hi, Hannah. I'm good, thank you. Yourself?
I'm very well, thank you. I think it's safe to say that this episode is something that is very close to your heart, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah, I only recently diagnosed myself, so yeah.
Do you want to just tell us, obviously, a little bit about your stoma background, but also a little bit about your neurodiversity diagnosis as well?
Yeah, so I'm Sophie from the South East, 39, mum of two, and I was diagnosed in 2020 with ulcerative colitis and quite a long time before that, serrated polyposis syndrome. So I ended up having ileostomy surgery in 2020, peak of COVID for those conditions. We'll probably come to how, but I then got diagnosed with severe combined type ADHD in October 2024, last year.
Lovely. Now, I've known you since before your ADHD diagnosis.
You have, yeah.
Was there a point where, be it pre sort of surgery or even pre-diagnosis, did you ever feel that there was anything neurodivergent about yourself? Did you understand much about neurodiversity?
Not at all. Other than we have got some neurodiversity in the family, but it's still not... I don't feel we've really educated ourselves on it enough to really sort of understand, you know, how the effects of it or how to cope with it, that sort of thing. But no, I was really naive to knowing anything about it. I never suspected I had it, to be honest. It was only as a result. So last year I started having trauma therapy because obviously I work frontline for the ambulance service. So I was referred for trauma therapy just to deal with PTSD from obviously a lot of stuff that we deal with within our role. And yeah, it was when I was seeing that therapist that it kept coming up and he was talking to me as though like I knew I had ADHD, and I was like, what are you going on about? And funnily enough, a friend at the same time as well was like, Sophie, you're so on the spectrum. And I felt really insulted. I was like, excuse me, because she said it so flippantly and was just like, yeah, you're so on the spectrum. And I was like, and I went away and I thought about it and what my therapist kept saying. And I went back to another session with him and I was like, what? You know, I questioned more, what is showing to make you think this? And he said things and I was like, okay. And then I started reading into it a little bit. Again, I'm not clued up at all really on ADHD or neurodiversity. But so then that's when I went through with getting referred and then finally getting my diagnosis at the end of last year.
And how did it make you feel when you got that diagnosis? Was there a bit of relief there? Did it kind of explain a few things to you almost?
It did, yeah. So I described, when I was on a Zoom call when I got the diagnosis, because they go through a whole assessment with you on the phone. It took about 3 hours. And at the end of it, he was like, you have so clearly got combined type ADHD. And I got really emotional. I just got really, really upset. And I think more because it just hit me like a ton of bricks. It was a whole mixture of relief because I was like, okay, this is starting to answer quite a few things. Because within the assessment, they ask you so many things that actually you think, oh, maybe that's not normal. Maybe that isn't normal behaviour. And I shouldn't say normal. I'm saying normal in brackets. But then I felt like I had a huge amount of grief for like little me as well, because I was like, yeah. You really, really suffered all these years, and that is no fault of my parents, of my possibly education. I think they should have picked up on it, but you know, I never blame my family or anything like that, because we just didn't know about it when I was younger. No. It was, you were just branded the naughty kid or the kid that was a nuisance or didn't sit still, you know, things like that. So yeah, I've gone through a lot of emotions. Anger as well has been one that I'm working on, because I'm angry at a lot of things, because obviously you feel like you've been failed at so many things.
Yeah.
But no, I'm coming to accept it now. And the biggest thing is being accepting of, there are so many comments like, oh, it's just another label. And I really, really hate people saying it's just another label, because actually I'm accepting that I've been diagnosed and I'm now labelled with another label, you know, be it IBD, be it a stoma, be it ADHD. It's going to help me now go forward with any treatment that's going to be required or help that I can get to manage it.
I'm thinking about, so you'd had your stoma surgery, we've got this undiagnosed ADHD. Are there things now that you look at and you think, oh my God, that was so clearly my ADHD, but I just thought it was. And it's a bit like you say, you kind of just think it's you, and that.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like when you're going through your IBD diagnosis, you think that's just what you're going through. That's just you. That's what's happened. That's what this is. That's what that is. And actually, when you have that diagnosis, you're, well, that clearly isn't normal. That's not normal. So were there any moments where you think now within like your early days with your stoma that you think, oh, my God, that was clearly what was going on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So sensory things I found really, really intense. So straight after surgery, the feeling of like uneven skin, glue on my skin, stitches, things that had never bothered me really before. I thought actually, no, that's a lie. I thought it didn't bother me. But then when I learned about the ADHD, I was like, this is all sensory issues. So I really couldn't cope. When I first got my stoma, having a bag on my skin, I found it so overwhelming, because it was something that was there and was really irritating, and not irritating as in my skin. It was just something I couldn't deal with, just with the sensory side of it. And funnily enough, right now I've got a 24-hour ECG tape stuck all over me, you know, all the little tabs. That's doing exactly the same. It's sending my sensory into overload, because I'm like, I can't deal with these wires. And so I found that really challenging at the beginning, obviously, and again, not knowing why. I just thought, and I remember asking people like, does it not bother you? And they're like, no. And I'm like, why is it not bothering other people that they don't like the feel of new things on their skin? And it's not just your skin, it's everything in general, you know, like even when I have to get some of my products ready, I wear like the washers.
Yeah, the seals, yeah.
Yes, the seals and things like that. I have to squidge them in certain ways before they go onto my skin. And yeah, it's just things. The main light bulb thing that I look back on was, okay, I'm forgetting to order all my supplies.
This is what I was going to ask.
Oh my God, I was always forgetting. The amount of times I've rung Coloplast, like begging them on the phone, like, oh, can you please send me out like an emergency box, which they've probably put red markers against my name now. Like, she's the pest girl completely. Yeah, I would just constantly forget appointments, like ordering my supplies. I'd have to have reminders in my phone. And I was like, why is this so hard? I just found everything's so hard. And so, yeah, again, it's learning now. That's all totally normal of the wiring of an ADHD brain. We just don't seem to necessarily remember the important stuff. And every morning I have to get up and look visually at my calendar and my phone, what I've got going on in that day. And I still won't remember throughout the day what things. So I have constant reminders going off on my phone, constant bleeping of my phone telling me, order your supplies, like bring the hospital, or don't forget this appointment. So, yes, that was really hard in the early days because it was all so new and it was just so overwhelming, everything in one go,
yeah.
Which I do suffer really bad on the ADHD side of overwhelm. And I'm not great with like basic executive functioning, basically. I can't manage a lot of stuff.
It's something that I've looked at a lot more myself, and it is those different ways it's a very sensory thing, but also that memory that you just I say it's almost like what we'd say is like goldfish brain. Almost, you can tell me if it, and sometimes if it, I'm always saying if it doesn't go in the first time, it ain't going to go in the 10th time either. Yeah. If it, if I've remembered it the first time, it's there. If it's not going in by the first time, you
see,
may
even
as well.
Even that, like every single bag I've got, bags in the car, as in like handbags, backpacks, you know, work bags, every single bag has got at least one Stoma bag change. You know, so like my adhesive spray, my bags, all that sort of stuff, because I will not remember to put supplies in my bag before going out. So I've now consciously, a while ago, I just set up, you know, I put in a little waste bag, I put one Stoma bag, adhesive remover, all those sort of things that I would need for a bag change.
Like a little emergency pack in all
your bags. Yeah, I've literally got them in every single bag now, because if I didn't, like I have gone out so many times and forgotten supplies. But then I get into a full-blown panic because I haven't got them. And then it can really ruin my day because I'll worry the whole – before Halo this was, I would really worry all day that, well, if I'd leak, I haven't got my stuff. And by that point, you know, we've travelled too far from home or whatever, if we're out for the day. And, yeah, and another thing is planning ahead for days out. I feel like it just uses so much more mental energy as well for me. It's like trying to get out the door with a baby, but without the baby and without the things that a baby needs. But that's all in my brain. It's just like, I need to remember all these things and I just can't.
And when there's that much going in, something's bound to plop out the other end. It's almost inevitable. Yeah. And I know you mentioned Halo there. Obviously, Halo is a fairly new Halo. So it wasn't around to support you in your early days.
No, it wasn't.
Were you, and I can't remember on the timelines here, were you using Halo pre your ADHD diagnosis or was it after?
Yes.
You were?
Yeah, about 6 months before my diagnosis, yeah.
Were you finding that was helping with some of the anxieties that are now, you now clearly know are related to your ADHD? Would you say Halo has helped alleviate some of those for you?
Massively. Massively. Like everyone knows within Colour Blast, I'm Halo's biggest fan going. Like, honestly, I just love the product. I swear by it. I tell everyone about it. But it's not until I've actually realised why I love it. I thought I just loved it because I'm like, this is amazing. I don't need to worry about leaks. But actually, no, it has massively reduced my mental health. I was constantly in a high state of anxiety about having leaks, and that was probably alleviated by the fact I went out and forgot supplies. So if I was going out and forgetting to take my supplies with me, then I'll be panicking all day that I'm going to have a leak. Whereas now I've got that little bit of reassurance that if I forget my stuff, I've got Halo that's going to give me that warning. You've got the start of a leak, and then I can actually be like, okay, guys, we're going to have to leave a bit earlier, or, you know, I can just adapt around it. And it's been a massive part, actually, in it's just taken away a big amount of anxiety and worry that I would carry around every day that would really heighten all other ADHD symptoms that I struggle with. So it would just, you know, it would kick off all the other avenues that I, you know, it's really complex to explain because it's just like I don't even understand my own brain. But Halo has massively helped with just reducing anxiety that just didn't need to be there because it was an added extra on top of everything else that I worry about, if that makes sense.
It's almost like, and I'm not going to put words together, but it's like it's taken away some of that background noise almost and allowed you to filter out a bit more.
Yeah, because I can enjoy my time now. Yeah, I can enjoy time, not worry about leaks. Whereas, like I say, if I went out before and I was worrying I was going to have a leak or something, it would just, that would be my focus the whole day. I'd think of nothing else. I wouldn't be enjoying the moment or anything. Whereas Halo now, it's completely filtered, that background noise, because I don't have that constant inner monologue of you're going to leak. Because it's like, well, no, I don't need to worry about that now.
And again, I'm guessing that comes back to the sensory side of things. When you've permanently got that noise, although it's not a physical noise, it's a noise in your head.
Yeah.
That's another sensory overload then that you can't even think about anything else that's going on because it's like you have got somebody shouting within your head.
Yeah, constantly. And that's the thing as well, because obviously my ADHD is combined type. So I struggle with both the inattentive and the hyperactive. But people are like, you're not hyperactive though. I was as a kid, but my hyperactivity is internalized. So that's what it is. It's my brain is so loud with so many thoughts 24/7 and like, it's also, I'm like, you can see obviously because we're looking at each other at the moment, but I'm so restless, I'm so fidgety all the time. And then when you've got everything else going on, people notice I'm doing more, I'm twiddling my hair, I'm playing with my skin, I'm, you know, twiddling my earrings. It's just, so yeah, that's like the hyperactive side of it, which that I find really, really heightens when I'm worrying about something. So for example, leaks, or if I've forgotten my supplies and I'm running low. But then I've got the inattentive, which is where I struggle to like pay attention. And so yeah. I completely fall off and I'm like, I'm not paying attention that I need to sort these things out, or I forget, I'm easily distracted. So yeah, I'll go to place an order or do something like that, and then I'm distracted and I forget. And then it's 2 days down the line, I'm like, oh my God, I'm like running around begging anyone to give me a stoma bag. Even if it's used, give it to me.
I don't care. How will it work?
But it's honestly exhausting. And I'm so glad now, in hindsight, that now I've got the diagnosis, I'm getting the support. So, you know, I'll soon have like a coach. I don't know how the ADHD coaching works. I think they're just going to help me managing life, hopefully. I'll sort my life out. But I've also started medication, which medication has been really tricky in itself as well, because I didn't think about my stoma with the medication. So I've been on it for a few months now and I'm seeing absolutely no effect, nothing, like no improvement. And we've gone up and up and up in doses. And it was only when I spoke to a different ADHD consultant last week and they said, can you empty your capsules into a drink and drink it instead of taking the capsule? They said, because we're worried actually it's not resolving any symptom in your system, sorry. And oh my word, the first day I took it, such a difference. I was like, why did we not think of this? There's fast acting medication and then there's slow release. So we went with the fast acting just because slow release would take too long, that by the time it's travelled all through the digestive tract, it wouldn't have been able to be absorbed by my system and everything in time. So we went with the fast release, so I'd get quite instant release from it, but they weren't working. And it was only last week when another consultant actually said to me, because I thought I was fine with capsules, I don't have issues with capsules with my stoma bag, but clearly these weren't getting through my system to give me the effect.
Wow.
So yeah, it's things that you don't really think about.
Are you managing to be a little bit more gentle on yourself now when you think, since your diagnosis? Because I know you said you used to get a bit, I know you did mention about anger earlier, but now you've had that diagnosis, the anger towards sort of yourself dissipating a little bit. You're giving yourself that little bit more of a break now, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. And I kind of feel I won't say it out loud, but I can say to myself, okay, that's the ADHD. You haven't meant to do that. Or because when I got diagnosed with it, I was diagnosed with RSD as well, which is rejection sensitivity dysphoria. It basically just means, to summarise, you have massively heightened emotions to situations. So someone can say something and I take it massively to heart. I get really offended when they might not have meant to offend me whatsoever. So yeah, I'm definitely being a bit kinder, like, okay, just take a step back. This isn't your reaction, it's your ADHD. But I just don't like to say it out loud because I don't want to be one of these that I'm excusing everything as that. But yeah, I'm slowly becoming a bit kinder to myself. And I've learned, actually, like, you know, Hannah, the years I've had like body dysmorphia and body issues. And I didn't realise like that was all linked as well. Yeah. You know, with ADHD, I could never understand why I couldn't stick to routines. I couldn't stick to a diet. I couldn't stick to a gym routine. And it was obviously all of that. You know, I was masking, I was showing different behaviours and just not actually able to, I just couldn't put my focus into things. So I'm hoping going forward with all the right help, I'm going to be able to actually focus on things in life.
Don't focus too much though. Don't focus too much. There's too much going on.
But I do think it is okay to grieve your old self and just be proud of who you are now. And that's what I'm really trying to instill in myself. I'm like, yeah, it's an alien feeling to be kind to yourself, but I'm trying.
I'm going to almost use that as a perfect note to finish on, because obviously we said it's Neurodiversity Pride Day and you just said then be proud of yourself.
Yes.
Take pride in what you do. And I think, again, we're approaching, we've got next month's Disability Pride Month. Mm. And I think it's just recognising that it's okay to be proud of these differences. It's differences are what make us unique. I mean, how blooming boring would life be if we all looked the same, thought the same, acted the same? Life would be so boring without people out there that have got, and I always think a lovely way to put it, it's like quirks. Everyone is a bit quirky. We're all quirky.
Oh, I'm definitely quirky. That's an understatement.
Yeah. And we wouldn't want you any other way.
Oh.
But thank you so much, because I know that this is a big thing for you to talk about, and it's something that's so new to you. So thank you so much for being so open and honest with how it's been and the issues you've faced and things like that. I really do appreciate that. It's been really interesting talking to you. And I say, when I go back to the web project, I feel so proud of you with the way you've come through it. And
I'm really, well really done. Grateful that you've given me the opportunity to talk about it. And it was probably quite a scatty conversation, because that's me when I'm trying to explain something when I'm passionate about it but don't fully understand. So yeah, I'm just really grateful that you've given me the opportunity actually to talk about it, and I've shown up, so that's brave, because I haven't yet spoken about this topic, so I'm proud. Yeah, there we go.
And I was clearly set as a reminder in your phone as well, because you remembered to come.
Yes,
there we go.
I turned up on time. Yes.
But thank you so much, Sophie, and to everybody listening, thank you for listening, and we will see you on the next podcast. Bye. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Collarplus Professional.